Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City. I am right here in Denver, Colorado. Spring is in the air. We're starting to see some spring here in Denver, Colorado. A lot less snow. Now it's kind of turning into a little bit of rain. It's been a while since we've seen rain instead of snow. Hey, you know, we get together every single weekday. We try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves or the sports world, you know, too seriously. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. You know, slowly but surely, we are plowing our way through another week, getting in position for another weekend. Got a pretty good weekend shaping up. Got what, Cinco de Mayo? I don't know what you got going for Cinco de Mayo. Also, have Sace de Mayo if you're interested in that. So we've got a couple of things. Got Kentucky Derby, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Got a number of things going on this weekend, and we are almost to that point. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how your week is going. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at dailydosports@gmail.com or go over to Twitter or Facebook. Reach out to us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you got a comment or a suggestion. Maybe you need some advice. Whatever it might be, we would love to hear from you. We've got a lot to get to today. You know, there are a couple of stories coming out in the world of sports that we want to make sure that we cover. And you might not realize this, but today, May 3rd, it is a national day of the year that we just might have to discuss something a little bit different. Plus, as we do every Thursday, we will take a look at some of the bigger sports media overreactions of the week. You know, once a week, and we could probably do it every day, but once a week, we do try to look at a few stories coming out in the sports media world that aren't really stories. Like sometimes they're just noise. They're just things being thrown out there. And on Thursdays, we do like to take a look at the overreactions of the week. A couple things coming out in the world of breaking news. First off, from the NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder general manager Sam Presti says that coach Billy Donovan's job is actually safe. Despite that disappointing finish to the season, Oklahoma City had really, really high expectations this year. When they went and got Paul George, and then they signed Carmelo Anthony to join the reigning most valuable player of the league, Russell Westbrook. Hey, everyone was looking around saying, can Oklahoma City go out there and challenge for the Western Conference? And the answer is no. No, they can't. Because even with that added star power, the Thunder won just one more regular season game than last year. And they went out in the first round of the playoffs to the Utah Jazz. Now, Paul George could be leaving in free agency, but Thunder management says that they are hoping to provide Billy Donovan with some continuity as he enters his fourth season down at Oklahoma City. And you know, this kind of surprises me because I thought Billy might be in some trouble because management would rather blame a coach than blame themselves, right? I mean, they're the ones that compiled this garbage heap of a roster. You go get Carmelo, who won't do anything but chuck up bad shots. Paul George, he didn't bring much to the table. Except, remember, right after they won game one of that series, he called himself Playoff P. And then as soon as he gave himself that idiotic nickname, he completely disappeared. And then we saw Russell Westbrook just like he got sick of it all. And he just was like, you know what? I'm just going to go Tasmanian Devil every game. I'm just going to go crazy every single game and hopefully somebody can keep up. What could possibly go wrong with that big mess? Besides, you know, everything. Now, like I said, Paul George could leave. You know, Oklahoma City is wishing Melo would leave, but no one's going to take that contract. They're stuck with Carmelo. Man, you know, the more I think about this, Billy Donovan was probably hoping to get fired because I don't know that they can fix this roster. This roster might stay a mess for a while. Sorry, Bill. You probably should have stayed at Florida. A little bit of news coming out in the NFL as well. Former San Francisco 49ers safety Eric Reed has filed another collusion grievance against the NFL over the fact that he can't get a job. It seems that Reed will be working with attorney Mark Garagos, who also did represent his former teammate Colin Kaepernick. Remember, Kaepernick had the collusion grievance against the league too, and they're still trying to figure that all out as well. Now, the claim in Reed's grievance, they're very similar to Kaepernick's. Reed is 26, and he's still unsigned after he became a free agent in March when his rookie contract with the 49ers expired. He was one of the first players that joined Kaepernick 2 years ago, kneeling down for the national anthem. Now, Kaepernick went away, but Reed is still continuing his protest during the anthem. He tweeted at the beginning of the offseason that he wasn't receiving interest from teams because of his actions during the anthem. Of course, NFL executives are saying that's not what it is. It's just a slow market at safety. Has nothing to do with that. Now, do I think Eric Reed is getting blackballed for his political stance when it's pretty obvious that the NFL is trying as best they can to distance themselves from all that kneeling stuff? Yeah, I do. Because it's not helping profit margins, right? But again, here's the question. It's the same question that I asked about Colin Kaepernick. Can you prove it? I doubt it. I don't know how you prove that. Just like the Colin Kaepernick situation, how do you prove it? How do you prove that there was collusion? How do you prove that the league got together and said, hey, here's what we're all going to do, okay? Nobody signed that guy. We all agreed? We all agreed? Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't a few of you write this down on a sticky note and maybe leave it lying around in the conference room? Could anybody do that? You got it? Yeah. Go ahead, write that down, leave it in the conference room, and just leave that around for the cleaning crew to find. Unless they found something like that, I don't know how you prove that the league colluded to keep you out. They just all say, he's not good enough. Now, in Reed's case, I think he can still play a little bit. In Kaepernick's case, honestly, I don't think he's a player. So I don't think it mattered. I do think Reed's a player. But again, does your talent outweigh your baggage? And in this case, apparently NFL owners have decided, no, they don't. He's not worth it. I just don't know how you can prove they've all decided to do that. One more thing coming out in the NFL. It looks like the NFL is finalizing a proposal that is going to make significant changes to their kickoff. They are trying to make a serious change to what has been the most dangerous play in all of football. There are some adjustments that a group of special teams coaches have come up with, according to competition committee chairman Rich McKay. Here are the proposed changes that are going to be put into a formal document by next week and presented to owners later in May down in Atlanta at the owners' meetings. Here is the changes that they are proposing. The coverage team would lose that 5-yard head start that they used to have, so they would line up on the line. 5 players would need to be aligned on each side of the kicker, so you can't offset the kicker. All wedge blocks, including 2-man double teams, totally eliminated. You can't do it. 8 of the 11 return team members would be lined up within 15 yards of the restraining line, so you can't have blockers back on the kick. And blocking would be prohibited within those 15 yards. There's no pre-kick motion. You can't run people back and forth. And onside kick rules would just stay the same. Now, the idea here is they're trying to reduce the space between the kicking team and the return team. They're trying to minimize the speed of those collisions. Look, I know there's going to be a big pushback against this rule. Hey, it's a violent game. You can't legislate violence out of the game. And I totally understand that. I do. But when there are all these lawsuits flying around, you can't have these guys slamming into each other after they get like a 40-yard head start. Am I going to rush in to see the new kickoff? No, but to be fair, I don't watch it now. I don't watch kickoffs. Oh, yay, another touchback. That's not going to change that much. I barely watch punts. This wouldn't be a punt. They would still kick it off. It would just be kind of a punt formation. But do you watch the punts? Do you watch the kickoffs? Not really. Yay, another fair catch. Oh, that was a really good touchback. Nobody really watches this stuff anyways. I know there'll be a lot of people that'll be up in arms. Oh, they're getting rid of the kickoffs. They're softening the NFL game. The NFL is really going off a cliff. No, they're trying to make it a little safer. I don't think they're completely legislating it out. Hey, if you want to kick it and pop it up high, there's still a chance for a return. You just can't have people slamming into each other after running a 40-yard dash. It does get a little bit dangerous. Is this a better play now? Probably not as far as entertainment, I guess, but as far as injuries? Yeah, unfortunately, it probably is. It's a different world now, kids. We just kind of have to accept it. Hey, coming back, it is another national day of the year that you might not realize. It is a day for sharing experiences, you might say. We're going to share a few experiences when we get back. Did you know that today, Thursday, May 3rd, is National Paranormal Day? Yeah, apparently. Each year on this day, all people who believe in paranormal activities are encouraged to get together and share their experiences with each other. You know, paranormal, that's a term that they kind of use to describe occurrences that can't be explained by ordinary scientific measures. They are outside the norm, so they are paranormal. Do you believe in the paranormal? Is that something that you kind of believe in? Are you believing in things you can't explain and things you see in the sky or ghosts or spirits or whatever it might be? Do you believe in that kind of stuff? What about when it comes to sports? You know, according to the Public Religion Research Institute that is based in Washington, D.C., which is supposed to be a nonpartisan, nonprofit group, 50% of sports fans see some aspect of the supernatural at play in sports. Meaning that either they pray to God to help their team win, they have thought that their team might be cursed at some point in time, or they believe that someone or something outside of, you know, the realm of the normal plays a role in determining the outcome of sporting events. I don't know. You believe in that stuff? Now, I've told you, not a superstitious guy.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
I struggle to think that what shirt I wear or whether or not I had pregame chicken and waffles or whatever affects anything that goes on during a sporting event. I always kind of believed, prepare well, practice hard, scout really well, go in ready to play that night, be in good shape, doing all those things. They seemed like they affected it a lot more than if I wore my lucky tie or whatever. Having said that, I have seen things in sports, hey, I can't explain them. Are they supernatural things? I don't know about that, but I can't explain them. They're definitely outside the norm. Like when you look at them sometimes, I don't know if they make logical sense, but are they supernatural? Well, let's kind of talk about a few of these things and I will let you decide. Think about some of the more popular things that we've seen in sports that might go against, like I said, the norm. They don't make logical sense. We've seen some crazy things happen. We've seen the New York Knicks pull out a lucky envelope in the NBA draft and somehow get Patrick Ewing. Now, did the NBA freeze the envelope? Did they crease the envelope? I don't know, but something happened there. Was the Immaculate Reception a legal play? There was something crazy that went on there, like the ball deflects off Jack Tatum, Frenchie Fuqua, Franco Harris scoops it up, runs it all the way to the end zone for a touchdown. Like, was that divine intervention? Was that something supernatural? I don't know. Did Muhammad Ali really hit Sonny Liston back in 65? Did Liston take a dive? Was it something supernatural? I have no idea. Did Curt Schilling really bleed into his sock? Looked like there was blood there. They never went and got the sock and brought it out, I don't think. I don't know. Did Paul Pierce poop his pants and that's why he was taken out in a wheelchair? Hey, you might think I'm joking about that one. You can go look that up. That is actually a conspiracy theory that is out there. That's why he was taken off in a wheelchair. I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened there. Something happened. He was taken off in a wheelchair and then he returned and he was fine. Looked like he returned in a different pair of shorts, but I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know. And what really went on with the New England Patriots and all of those different gates they've had? They had Deflategate, they had Spygate, they had kissing a young boy on the mouth for way too long gate. I can't speak for all of those things. Although at some point, we probably should do our best here at the Daily Dose to see if we can't solve some of those mysteries. Maybe that's a future show, I don't know. But never mind those ones. I've seen some other things in sports that I absolutely can't explain. Are they paranormal? Maybe. I mean, I don't understand them all, but there are a number of things that I see in sports that I don't understand. And I see them every day. It's not like those ones we just talked about. Those are like once in a lifetime kind of things, right? Like those happened long time ago but they haven't happened, you know, since. Those are like one-time things. I see things every day that I don't understand. I want to talk about a few of those today. On National Paranormal Day. Here's a couple things that I see. I have seen Cleveland Cavaliers power forward LeBron James, who they say, they claim, might be the greatest athlete ever. They say he's the biggest, the strongest, the fastest basketball player, maybe of all time. But I've seen him get knocked to the floor by like a 5'10", 180-pound point guard. I can't explain it. But I've seen it more than once. So it's not like a one-time thing. It's not, well, he's caught him off balance. Like, he hit the floor like someone shot him. I can't explain it, but I've seen it happen. Is it paranormal? I don't know. I have seen the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. And hey, let's be real clear. There can be no debate about that whatsoever. He has more Super Bowls. He's obviously the greatest quarterback ever. Ever. But I've seen him lose Super Bowls to Eli Manning, not once, but twice. And I saw him lose to Nick Foles in the big game. I can't explain it, but I've seen it happen. I know for a fact it happened. I have seen Major League Baseball go for a few years unable to score. They're talking about how can we get some scoring. We can't score. I don't know what the deal is, but there's no scoring in baseball. Every game's like a 1-0, like a 2-1. They can't score. And now we have baseballs popping out of the park like popcorn. We have baseballs going out of the park off of broken bats. Hey, is it a ghost? I don't know, but it's something. Like, something's happening. I can't figure it out, but something is happening. I have seen both JaVale McGee and J.R. Smith win NBA titles. Like, that blows your mind. Like, I can't even get my head around that. But they've both done it. They both have championship rings. How? It has to be something paranormal, doesn't it? I see professional hockey being played in June every single year. Now, let me see if I have this straight, because, like, I thought, maybe I have this wrong. The sport is played on ice, right? Like, that sounds like a winter sport, not a summer sport. But every single year, we see it being played into June. Paranormal? I'm not sure. Something's going on. I have seen professional athletes repeatedly, I mean again and again, get involved with those succubus, soul-sucking Kardashian devil women, despite the fact we all know they will ruin your career, they will take your manhood, and they will crush your soul and your life. Why? Why would you get involved with them? They have literally, not figuratively, they have literally had one former professional athlete on life support, and yet they still keep going to them. I can't explain it. That might be something supernatural going on there, because it makes no sense whatsoever. When you see that and you just see these athletes going back and going back, what are you doing? Do you hate yourself that bad? Are you that bad at decision making that you would go with these devil women? I don't understand it, but we see it again and again and again. I saw, speaking of things that don't make a whole lot of sense, I saw a 6-foot quarterback get selected with the top pick of last week's NFL draft. A 6-foot quarterback that has been playing in the Big 12 against those defenses. That when we saw him go against a little bit tougher defenses, you know, in the big games, in the playoff games, it seemed like he was a little bit less effective. But we saw a professional football team say, no, he's the best player in the entire country. We're taking him first. I can't explain it, but it happened. Like, what can you say? I know there's some people out there saying, hey, I can't explain. I saw what I think is Bigfoot. I can't explain it, but it happened. I saw it. Kind of similar here. I watch replays sometimes in sports, whether it's the NFL, sometimes it's the National Hockey League, sometimes it's the NBA, might even be Major League Baseball. And I swear, I see one thing, but it's like I'm never, ever correct. Like, the screen shows one thing, but then the ref comes out and says another thing. Was it a catch? Looked like a catch. Had his hands down, caught it, rolled over, stood up, and then the referee comes out and says, yeah, it wasn't a catch. I don't know what it means. there's some confusion there. Maybe it's something supernatural. I don't know. Maybe we're looking at two different screens. Maybe there's some sort of ghost in his TV that he can't see, but we're seeing two different things because I can't explain it. Finally, I saw a Philadelphia boxer, a boxer that you know well, a boxer that you are familiar with. Tough guy, hard guy, had to come up through a tough way of life, nicknamed the Italian Stallion. Rocky Balboa, I saw him somehow get faster at sprinting. I saw him racing a guy who was much, much faster than him. Not a little faster than him, much, much faster than him. He foot raced in a sprint Apollo Creed in Rocky III. And he wasn't even close. And then they ran later in the movie and he was faster than Apollo Creed. Can you really gain that much speed? Like, I haven't seen many people run like a 5.940 and then all of a sudden they're down to a 4.3. But somehow Rocky Balboa did it. Is that a thing? Like, can you just get monumentally faster? You just start running faster? I've never seen that. Like, you can trim, like, you know, a tenth off here or there, but, and it wasn't like he wasn't in shape the first time. Like, he was in fighting shape. He was okay. He wasn't even close. And then all of a sudden he beat him. And maybe, I'm just wondering, maybe it was something paranormal. Something we can't explain. Or maybe Apollo just threw the race so that he could frolic in the surf with Rocco. You know, now that I think about it, that actually might make a little bit more sense. Hey, coming back, we will be taking a look at some of the biggest overreactions of the week by the sports media that might not make the most sense. Just a quick reminder that if you've got any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is out and it's called Role Models. It's got items from Arrested Development, Archer, Deadpool, and The Punisher. Those are pretty good role models, I would say. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Maybe you want to order something for yourself. Maybe you want to order something for mom for Mother's Day. Whatever it might be, we're going to hook you up with 10% off. Make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com. Okay, you know, every single week, we like to take a look around the sports world and see what overreactions that they might be jamming down our throats. Because sometimes they're legitimate stories. And a lot of other times, they're just making a bunch of noise.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
They're just yelling things. They're just talking for the sake of talking. We like to stop in, take a look at some of these so-called stories, try to decide for ourselves, is this actual news? Or is it just an overreaction and just some hype? Just some noise. This week, we've heard a couple of things. We're going to take a look at them right now. First off, a couple of things coming out in the NFL draft. And one of the things coming out in the NFL draft that I've heard on a number of different publications is that the Cleveland Browns drafting Baker Mayfield took a lot of guts. They had the guy that they wanted and they stuck to their guns. You might not agree with it, but it's a very gutsy move. Hey, maybe so. That might be true. Maybe that's just a difference of opinion. Maybe they actually believe that. Hey, it was a gutsy move. It is a gutsy move. It also might be a really stupid move. Because with their top two picks, I don't know that Cleveland got anyone that is a legitimate, bona fide, hey, no worries, that is a pretty foolproof pick. No, both of their top picks, Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield, they've got a lot of questions about them. Was it gutsy? Yes. I'll agree with you there. Absolutely gutsy. Was it smart? We can differ a little bit there. Not sure if it was the smartest move. And you know, one other thing I've seen this week, because of course, after the NFL draft, we get a lot of the publications, sports media outlets, giving us grades, giving us winners and losers, giving us all those things. Now, we did winners and losers earlier this week. If you didn't hear it, go back and find it. But every single one that I've looked at, they all have one thing in common. Nobody gets a bad grade. Everyone got good grades. And I can't really kill teams for picking players because we haven't seen them play yet. But let me ask you a question. When a team doesn't have any picks in the first round, like they literally had no picks, how can you give them the same A minus that you gave the team with like five seemingly good picks in the first two rounds? You had zero picks. They had five. If nothing else, five is better than zero. I mean, are you giving them an A minus? Well, they didn't screw anything up this year. Is that what we're grading on? Why do you never see a D or an F on the draft grades? Go find a draft grade. If you just search NFL draft grades, you'll get about 50,000 of them. And I'll promise you, they'll all be A's and B's. The worst you'll see is like a C plus, maybe a B minus. Really? This isn't public school. You don't just give everyone a passing grade. Are they just sucking up? I don't understand it. Like, there are some teams, you weren't great. We talked about some of the losers. You weren't great. You made some picks that didn't make any sense. I can't just say, well, I don't know. It just seems like it's an A. I guess it's an A. What if you didn't have any picks? Do you still get an A? What if you literally traded every single pick you had for like Ricky Williams? Let's say you did that. Are you still getting an A? Because I have a feeling that a lot of the sports media outlets would just be like, hey, they didn't screw it up. That's not all bad. I don't know if I'm buying that. Let's switch over to the NBA because there's a few things coming out in the NBA. With the playoffs going, I've heard a couple things in the sports media world that I'm not sure I understand. One very popular opinion this week is that LeBron James absolutely would not let the Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. And that effort gets him a little bit closer to being in that conversation with Michael Jordan. Yeah, because beating the Lance Stephenson Indiana Pacers puts him on the same plane as Michael Jordan. Let me just ask you one question. If LeBron had lost that series, would you say it knocked him down below like Tim Duncan? I mean, can we stop trying to make this the narrative of every single game that LeBron plays in? LeBron beat the Detroit Pistons last night. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but Michael Jordan struggled with the Pistons. Is LeBron better than Michael? Just stop. We've covered this at length here on The Dose. I'm not going to go down this path, but hey, LeBron James is a great player. He is. He's a great player. He's a great athlete. He's a phenomenal. He's bigger, stronger, faster. He's a great player. He's just not the greatest player. And for me, he's probably not in my top five yet. Here's the problem that I have. You can't be the greatest player when you have literally quit in a playoff game. I'm sorry. You can't unring that bell, folks. It's wrong forever. You can't pass people like Magic and Larry and Kareem and Michael. You can't. You quit in a playoff game. End of story. Another thing that we're hearing, if the Toronto Raptors can't beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in these NBA playoffs, hey, just blow the team up. Let's just dismantle this team. It needs to go away. Why is this a thing in sports, especially on sports talk? If this team can't get any better this year, they need to just blow the team up. This isn't a thing. Like, if you had a car that wasn't running well, would you try to fix the car or would you just take all the pieces apart and like just lay them out on the lawn? Hey, I couldn't fix it, so I just dismantled it. There it is. If anybody wants it, it's dismantled. None of the pieces are together now. Why do we always talk about this? Like, hey, if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl this year, they ought to just blow the team up. Why? Why not just like add another player, maybe get rid of a player, or bring someone in or change this or change that? Why is this a thing in sports talk that we sit there and say, well, just blow it all up then? It's like children. Like, hey, I couldn't get these Legos to go together. I'm just going to throw them across the room. If they can't beat Cleveland this year, let's just throw the Toronto Raptors away. Or maybe just like go get someone who could step up in the fourth quarter, because we saw in game one, yeah, Kyle Lowry didn't get it done. Can I throw out a theory that I have just real briefly? Kyle Lowry, to me, is a little bit like Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback, Blake Bortles. Like, I have heard that he has good games. I've just never witnessed any of them. Hey, just me. It's just me. Final overreaction of the week is that the Philadelphia 76ers are in huge trouble after watching game one against the Boston Celtics. The Celtics controlled the game. The Sixers, their youth showed. They couldn't get stops when they had to. Boston more experienced, better defensively. The Sixers are in huge trouble. And they might be. I'll give you that. They totally might be. But we overreact to game ones more than anything in these multi-game series. And you know, the funny thing, game one might be the least important game of a seven-game series. Like, of all the games, you have six more games. You can fix things. Who cares about game one? Yes, the Sixers lost on the road. so what? They were supposed to lose that game. Like in a 7-game series, home team is supposed to win home games, right? That is how the series is supposed to go. And yet when Philly lost that game one, everybody was like, oh, they're done. So much for that. It's going to be Boston and Cleveland. Is it? Like, can we wait like a microsecond and let's just see how they do in game two? Let's see how they do in game three. Maybe game four. Because if they come back and they win game two, game three, game four, Philly sure is good again. We overreact so much to these things. The Philadelphia 76ers are still going to be a pain for the Celtics. Keep one thing in mind about that game. The Boston Celtics played nearly perfect basketball to get that win. What if they don't play quite that perfect in the next game? Don't overreact to game ones in these playoff series. It's easy to do. It doesn't always make the most sense. Sometimes it's just a lot of noise. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest and greatest sports news and stories. We will also have our weekend preview in sports. If you're not sure what to watch this weekend, got a couple of things that you're going to want to tune in for. Plus, as we do every single Friday, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go, but you know that you've got to tune in for it. I say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the tweets and the Facebook shares. It is all very, very appreciated. Hey, make sure that you don't miss a single episode by just clicking that little subscribe or follow button wherever it is that you listen to the podcast. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.